where we've come in the years since then. This was 30 years ago. But I realize now, when I look at my dynamics, how punitive I was of somebody who came to me who was strong, who didn't really need me in that way, who wanted to become free. I mean, I say kiddingly, but it's not so funny that if I, in those days, met who I am today, who came into his office, I would hospitalize him. Who I am now would be such a threat to who I was then. So I invite you to examine the way in which your identity with your roles and your personality dynamics are creating a very rigid system with other people, and whether or not you are using the relationships in a way to get free from that. First of all, do you realize you're entrapped in them? I mean, I wrote a chapter in How Can I Help called Helper's Prison. The way in which you get into helping because it makes you feel righteous, it relieves suffering, it's all good things. So you get into, I'm a helper. And I realized as I examined the dynamics of my own helping and the helping of the people around me, how disempowering this was to everybody else around them. How it needed helpless people to help. And I was seeing how you could give something to somebody in one way where you're identified with the giver, which forces them to be the receiver. Or you could give somebody to someone and yet not be caught in giving and receiving, but just be in shared awareness. It's like when I give these beads from my right hand to my left hand, the right hand didn't get caught in giving and the left hand didn't get caught in receiving. There was no giver, there was no receiver. And yet there was a giver and receiver. That's the key. There was no giver and receiver, and yet there was a giver and receiver. How do you play the roles? How do you have the needs without being trapped in them? And the first part of it is, as Gurdjieff said, to realize you're in prison. To realize you are trapped. Not really, but you are thinking you are trapped. And what that appreciation does is it changes the way in which you look at your life experiences. I remember I've talked about this many times, but I was with Emmanuel. And I said to Emmanuel, what am I doing on earth? Who made this terrible error? I mean, what am I doing on this plane? This is nonsense. These are all these rascals and brigands and slothful people and lustful people. I don't belong here. I'm much too pure for this. And he said, Ram Dass, you're in school. Why don't you try taking the curriculum? That fascinated me. That was a nice way of putting it. It's a nice way of putting it. It's the same thing about the issue of coming into your passion. Or as Alan Watts once said to me, Richard, you're too attached to emptiness. I mean, I was pushing away the form too much. And the form becomes the curriculum. The form is the projection of the mind. Which forms you see, that's your karma writ large. And the issue of extricating oneself from those clingings, not to be not in them, but to be in them and not in them. Now, you have the possibility of being with other people who are not trapped, who are always in that spacious awareness. You saw two of them on the television last night. Ramana Maharshi's beautiful example, just very, always so simple and present and loving. That blend of compassion and emptiness, that's the way those come together. Let me just tell you one little story. I was in Madras, I believe, and I met a man who was in his 50s, I guess, and he had grown up as a small child around Ramana Maharshi. He used to sit on his knee and all that. And then he grew up and he became an army officer, and now he was sort of retired or something like that. And he said, one day, he said, an English gentleman came to the ashram. He said, this English gentleman was the head of a large set of businesses, and one of his set of businesses was in Madras. And the businessman was having trouble sleeping, and he was very agitated and very upset. And the manager of his Madras store said, a business said, you should meet this saint at Arunachala, Tiruvannamalai. And so the Englishman agreed, and he flew over to India in a flying boat, as the story was told, whatever that means. I guess a seaplane. And he came to Madras, and his manager took him to see Ramana Maharshi, and he was going to stay there for several weeks.